In June of 1969, Nixon announced the first in a series of troop withdrawals. 25,000 men would come home. Increasing aerial bombardment would take up the slack. However, the body bags kept arriving, and on October 15th, 100,000 demonstrators rallied in Boston, while another 30,000 marched with Coretta Scott King to the White House in what was called Vietnam Moratorium Day. In early November of 69, Nixon announced another troop reduction of 50,000. And in mid-November, over 1 million protesters marched against the war in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco. On April 1, 1970, Nixon ordered another troop withdrawal, this time 100,000 men. Then on April 30th, he came on television to announce a land invasion of Cambodia. It would seek out and destroy North Vietnamese sanctuaries. Over the next few days, bewildered students at over 100 campuses came out in demonstration. On May 4th, Ohio National Guardsmen, exhausted from trying to break up a Teamster strike the day before, shot and killed 4 student demonstrators at Kent State University. Over 450 campuses shut down. Half the college students in America went on strike. National Guard deployed on 21 campuses. Fire and bombs destroyed 30 ROTC buildings. The invasion of Cambodia brought to center stage the war-resistant work of the American service veterans. Returning war veterans formed the Vietnam Veterans Against the War and effectively took leadership of the anti-war movement. Nixon's announcement in April 1971 of another 100,000 troop pullout did little to quell the determination of the anti-war protesters. On April 24th, almost 500,000 people marched on Washington, while another 200,000 marched in San Francisco. Radical members of the Students for a Democratic Society saw these anti-war demonstrations as futile and naive. Only armed insurrection could topple the imperial war machine. Calling themselves the Weather Underground, they commandeered the leadership of the SDS and took violent action. From 1969 through 1975, the men and women of the Weather Underground conducted a coast-to-coast bombing campaign against government and corporate buildings. Their tactics did nothing to end the war and left the SDS in shambles. In the end, neither the students nor the Vietnam War veterans could alter Nixon's policy of forcing the North Vietnamese to accept terms in return for U.S. withdrawal. It was, above all, the unfaltering determination of the Vietnamese to match dead for dead in an open-ended conflict that placed time on their side. Their indomitable commitment stood in stark contrast with the accelerating general collapse of the American military.